Good morning, and we do welcome you along to service this morning. It's lovely to be here in the house of the Lord once again, and we do welcome you along to our service. So as we come to worship the Lord this morning, let's hear reading from 2 Peter. We're looking at Peter this morning. This is how 2 Peter opens up. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's rise and worship the Lord together by singing our opening hymn, which will be up on screen. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Let's rise and worship together. Let's pray together. So, Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning We worship and we adore you. You are our God and Heavenly Father. And thank you that we can come before the throne of grace because of Christ. And thank you for all you've done for us, Lord, the many blessings which are ours, though we were dead in trespasses and sin. Thank you for your grace to fallen mankind and for the spiritual life that you give us from above, changing us, Lord, saving us by your marvelous grace. Thank you for so great salvation this morning, and we can worship and adore you and say, crown him with many crowns. Thank you for the Saviour, the Lamb upon the throne, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, alive forevermore. Cleanse us of our sin, Heavenly Father. Forgive us when we've failed to be the people you would have us to be. Cleanse us and renew us even this morning, we pray. May we be filled with your Spirit. We pray that you'd speak to us afresh from your word and speak to our hearts, we pray. May we know it was good to be in the house of the Lord and be with those not able to gather with us this morning for whatever reason. We pray that they might may know your blessing and encouragement at this time, we pray. Heavenly Father, we look up and we consider what's been going on over this last week. We think of the big international events, Heavenly Father, what's been going on in our own nation and indeed in others, Lord. We just see the tragedy earlier this week with many lives taken into eternity, Heavenly Father, because of a plane crash in India. Lord, we don't understand why these things must happen. We do pray that you'd minister to people involved in the situation. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd comfort those that mourn. But we're reminded of what our Lord said, speaking about disasters, that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And we do pray that you'd speak to people about the nearness of eternity, Heavenly Father, and the need to be repentant and right with yourself, ready to meet you, Lord God. We pray that you'd minister to people. Lord, we look up and there's much to alarm us when we put our TVs on and see the news. Lord, think of what's going on in the Middle East at this time. It's dangerous, Heavenly Father. The world, it seems, is a dangerous place these days. We do pray for restraint, not escalation. We pray for restraint. We pray for wisdom and guidance for the leaders of these nations. We do pray, Heavenly Father, for a cease in this war, this fighting, Lord. And we do pray for much wisdom, for restraint, Lord. Thank you that you are in control. Your hand is on the situation. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, pray for our own nation. Thank you for the gospel freedoms we have in this land. And we do pray for their protection, Lord. We're mindful of some of the bills that are being voted on in Parliament, or due to be voted on in Parliament in these days. We do pray, Heavenly Father, again for wisdom and guidance, that you'd guide the leaders and the politicians in our nation, Lord, and you'd overrule. And we do pray that bills like the Assisted Suicide Act will not be passed, Lord. We pray you'd thwart this, Lord, and we do commit this matter to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. It's not just the big international events that you're concerned about, or the national events as well as the international events, but thank you, your eye is on the sparrow, and Christ said that we are worth more than many sparrows, and Lord, we do pray for people who are going through difficult and testing times. I want to bring before you, Lord, a young lad who's been taken into hospital this week with a serious injury, Lord. He's known to us, Lord. We've been following progress and praying for him, and Lord, we just commit him to you, Lord, and those who are attending to him in the hospital at this time. And Lord, we also pray that you'd comfort those who've been bereaved recently, maybe even suddenly. Lord, we commit them to you, that you'd give comfort and strength for the days that lie ahead. Heavenly Father, just ask you to bless us this morning, Lord. Help us to be still and know that you are God. We pray that you'd speak to us fresh from your word, Lord, as we look at the hope that we can enjoy through knowing Christ as our Saviour. We pray you'd speak to us afresh, Lord, and encourage us in our faith this morning. So, Heavenly Father, we ask these things, Lord, and we pray these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of mankind. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue to worship the Lord, and we're still on the idea of the kingship of Christ. Singing earlier about crown him with many crowns. Now we're going to sing King of Kings, Majesty. Let's rise and sing together. Rise if you're able. But let's all sing together, King of Kings, Majesty.
King of Kings, Majesty. God of heaven, living.
Announcements for the coming week, if you just bear with me. So there is tea following the service this morning, and then there's Knit and Natter at 2 o'clock on Monday, and then the Pilates group meets Tuesday night 6 o'clock and Saturday morning at 9:30. Now the midweek Bible reading and prayer meeting is on Wednesday, and the reading for this week that we'll be looking at on Wednesday evening, 1 Kings chapter 11. So if you'd fallen it through, that's day 18, that's looking at Solomon, it's at 7:30. So 1 Kings chapter 11, and that's at 7:30 this Wednesday. And we still see here, found here a few copies of the study, so you're welcome again. If you haven't got one of these, please take one away. And don't worry, even if you're, you know, if you're not able to get there on Wednesdays, if you're not in the habit of going, still take away, I still would recommend one of these for you. It's an excellent study, and I do commend them to you. I'll put them on the table there for you to pick up at the end of the service. Do feel free to just take away, and you can follow that day by day. Now, further announcements, fitness and fellowship, God willing, and of course, weather permitting, Thursday at 6:30. Just to point out as well, there will be a church lunch on the 29th of June. That's 2 weeks today, after the morning service. Now, Keith Hay will be speaking at that. Keith Hay is speaking next week as well, and the week after. And if you'd like to come to the church lunch on the 29th, then please put your name down on the sheet. It's sent out there in the vestibule. And if you're coming, and if you desire, then, okay, you can indicate some food item that you want to provide so we can assess what else we need to take along. Okay? So I think these are all the announcements that I need to make this morning. Is there anything else I need to add? That's everything. Okay. Now we're going to come to the scripture this morning. At the beginning of the service, I was reading from the second letter of Peter, the opening verses from the second letter of Peter. Now I'm going to read the opening verses from the first letter of Peter. So 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read together. We're focusing on the first five verses this morning, but we'll read 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll go up to verse 12. Okay. So 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Amen. Amen. Now, before we come to God's word this morning, I'm going to sing another hymn. It's one that we've got to know over the last few weeks, months even. Yet not I, but Christ in me. So let's rise and sing together.
Of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken.
Let's pray together. Before we come to God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. We pray that you'd speak to us from your word, teach us by your spirit, and be glorified in our midst, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Where there's life, there's hope. Have you heard that expression before? Where there's life, there's hope. Right, I do remember when I was a child, there used to be a medical program on called Where There's Life, but they didn't finish with that bit, There's Hope. Is that really true? If it is the idea of hope conjure up in your mind, you hope for better things, don't you? Maybe hoping for good job prospects, maybe hoping your family gets on in life. In my line of work, they're hoping to get through the next 3 weeks, and they're hoping for a good summer holiday and that there'll be good weather. I think for many people in the northeast of Scotland, hope was fulfilled. A 35-year hope was fulfilled 3 weeks ago because of a certain football match. So hope conjures up the idea in lots of different ways. In a more serious manner, of course, would be hoping that this awful conflict in the Middle East would stop, that the fighting in Ukraine would be at an end as well. We hope for more, much more deeper and more serious things as well. We hope for all sorts of different things. Peter was writing to the early Christians about hope. Where there's life, there's hope. Is it true? Well, Peter was writing to what kind of people? Exiles, we're told here in the opening verses, the dispersion, exiles of the dispersion, exiles, strangers, travelers, to give them hope. Hope. Strangers. Okay, you see the word elect exiles there, that can also translate as strangers. Strangers. Did he not know them? Okay, if you meet a stranger, you meet somebody for the first time, they're a stranger to you. Did Peter not know these people he was writing to? They were strangers, not to Peter. They were certainly not strangers to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were strangers to a world that thought they were strange. They thought they were strange. And Peter goes on to speak about, beloved, he says, I urge you, sojourners, okay, travelers and exiles, he speaks about them being strangers there. He emphasizes this idea of exiles and strangers. And he says, to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. They stood out from the rest of the world. They were strangers. The world thought they were strange because of how they lived and because of what they believed. Peter, who was he? He was one of the 12 disciples. He was a man that had many failings. He was a bit quick to speak sometimes, a bit impetuous. But one thing he didn't have, he didn't have a cold heart. He didn't have a cold heart. In the upper room, Christ predicted that Peter would deny him three times. Peter said, no, that's never going to happen. But Christ knew, of course. But he also said this, when he gave the warning to Peter, he said this as well, when you have returned, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. And also when he does restore Peter by the shore of Galilee in John 21, what does he say to him? Feed my sheep. Strengthen your brothers when you have returned. Strengthen your brothers. Feed my sheep. And in this letter, he does both things. He does both things. In fact, he does it in both his letters in different ways. The emphasis is different in the two letters. First Peter, Peter is dealing with persecution. Persecution from without. Persecution from without. In the second letter, he's dealing with persecution from within, false teachings. False teachings that do damage to the church. Okay, we're faced with both in the days that we're living in. But we're focusing just now on the opening verses of 1 Peter. Persecution from without. How to be godly people in a godless age. Peter has a twofold emphasis. In verse 11, he speaks about the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Sufferings and future glory, and that's a theme throughout the first letter of Peter. Hope, and throughout the letter, there's a double theme, hope and glory. You see it in chapters 1 and indeed throughout the letter, hope and glory. There's a twofold emphasis then in this letter. But let's consider for a moment hope. Okay, in verse 3. Now it's present hope. Okay, I've got three P's for you this morning. Present hope. So let's consider this idea of hope that Peter is writing to encourage the first century Christians. Peter, in verse 3, okay, he says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." What happens there? He bursts into praise. Have you ever done that? You ever felt the Spirit of God coming upon you and you just had to burst into praise? I wonder if you've ever had that experience. Peter bursts into praise. Why? Well, the Father, this is what he's saying. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Why does Peter burst into praise? Because the Father, through the Son, has given a new life and a new status to Peter and all believers. A new status, new standing. Before, we were dead in trespasses and sin. Whether it's the first century Christians here, Christians throughout the generations, and us today as well. Before, we were dead in trespasses and sin. Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, he has given us life. Okay, a dead body can't give itself life, but we were dead in trespasses and sin. Now we have life, spiritual life. Jesus says, Jesus spoke about being born again or born from above. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Previously, we were dead. We were rebels to God and at enmity towards him. We were dead. But now we've received this spiritual life. Paul says, for all, in Romans chapter 8, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We have this life from above, spiritual life, the Spirit working in us, transforming us. showing that the Spirit has worked a new birth in Christ. We believe. We're brought back into Christ's fellowship. Paul there speaks about receiving the Spirit of adoption. John emphasizes it as well. He says that we are the children. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. We've been transformed. We've got this living hope. And we can cry out, Abba, Father. Okay, nothing to do with Swedish pop groups from the 1970s or anything like that. Abba, Father. It's a expression, really, which shows the closeness of the relationship. We can cry out, Abba, Father, if we are joined to Christ. Christ speaks about being, he's the vine and we are the branches, and the life flows from the vine. We are united and we grow. We are united by faith to Christ. We have this life, the spiritual life, and we grow. And then we have our living hope. Hope for now and hope beyond the grave. Hope for the life to come. And where there's life, there's hope. And you've got the idea of living there. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope. Hope for now. Living indicates growth, some says. Like if you can think of the vine, this illustration that Christ gives of the vine and the branches. Growth, spiritual maturity. How has God accomplished this? He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. But there was a cost. There was a cost. Before Christ could rise from the dead and enter into glory and be seated at the right hand of God, he had to suffer and bleed and die for the sins of his people. There was a cost. Peter says in the chapter here, he says that knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or defect. There was a cost. We'd all sinned and failed our Heavenly Father, failed our Lord God. We could not in and of ourselves work our way back to God, but we could not reach up to God, but God in his grace and mercy reached down to us, to fallen mankind. And he came down in the person of his Son. And the Son willingly offered up his life for sinners like us. Salvation or redemption or deliverance from sin is secured. It's made sure through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. Hallelujah. And we're brought into this living hope, a confidence and a trust in our Heavenly Father. But I wonder this morning as I'm speaking, I wonder, do you have this hope, this genuine living hope? It's our living hope, not a nominal hope, not a dead, dry hope. It's our living hope. Well, you only have a living hope if you're joined to the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The branches draw their life from the vine. Knowing Christ, united to him, do you have this hope? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? What happens to the branches if they're united to the vine? They grow. Now you see, where there's life and where there's faith, there's hope. But where there's hope, and that hope centered in Christ, there's growth. There's growth. Have you grown? Have you been growing? If there's no growth in your life, then maybe you this morning just have to consider and think about it, that perhaps, well, you've been Christianized, but you've never actually entered into this living, growing relationship, living, growing, saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't have this hope. You need to examine your heart. Well, there's life, there's hope, but there's growth. Christ is the vine, we are the branches. We should be growing. We have a living hope. Where there's life, there's growth. But if we know Christ, we have that permanent hope. It's a wonderful doctrine, really, from the Scripture. A present hope. That was my first P. Because moving on now, we'll also see what Christ gives us, a permanent inheritance. So we've got a present hope. hope now, but a permanent inheritance. A permanent inheritance. In verse 4, Peter says this. Well, going in from verse 3, he says, you're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. An inheritance. What does the idea of inheritance mean to you? You ever received an inheritance? Somebody leaves something behind to you when they pass on? Peter speaks about an inheritance that is permanent. Who was he writing to again? Strangers. Okay, first century Christian. Strangers and exiles. Strangers to the world, the ungodly world that persecuted them, round about them. They were strangers, but not only that, they were scattered. Scattered, the dispersion. Have you heard that expression before, the dispersion? What was the dispersion? What is the dispersion? The technical name, the technical term for the Jews who lived outside Palestine. Okay, in James's letter, he writes to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. So it's an expression that's used in the scripture. These people were facing great difficulties. As I said, 1 Peter speaks about persecution from without. Facing great difficulties then. Why? What sort of things would have happened to them in those days? They would have been expelled from the synagogue. They would have found it hard to find employment. Their card would have been marked. Okay, so they would have found it hard to find employment. They could have been facing some financial hardship. They could have found it difficult to support their families. They were living in a world that was expected to engage with pagan worship, the worship of false gods. So they lost many blessings, they were being persecuted, but Peter knew as well that he was writing to those who knew that here we have no continuing city. Remember that, whatever the hardships you go through, whatever trials, keep that in mind, this is not the end. Okay, here we have no continuing city. Christians are looking for the city that is to come. And Peter is speaking of a permanent inheritance, an inheritance that is imperishable. That means it will last. It will last. Okay, much of what you buy in the shops could be perishable. Okay, perishable foods, you can't keep it for long. You've got, and in the warmer weather anyway, you're going to have to throw it out if it's past its sell-by date, if it's gone off. This is something that's imperishable. It'll last forever. It's permanent. An inheritance. What's your idea of an inheritance? All right, an earthly inheritance is when money or property or whatever is left behind. Someone passes on. In the New Testament, though, what did inheritance mean? It could actually refer, sometimes the word inheritance in the New Testament did refer to that kind of inheritance that we're familiar with, but also future reward, future reward. The Old Testament also spoke of inheritance in terms of the promised land of Canaan. That would be Israel's inheritance. You read about it in the book of Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua when they entered the land. That was the people of Israel's inheritance. But the emphasis here, 1 Peter chapter 1, it speaks about this inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. You may be fortunate enough to at some point in your life to be left an inheritance of possessions, wealth, whatever, land perhaps, property. But Peter's not saying that believers are left an inheritance of possessions, wealth, land, whatever. Okay, it's not the emphasis here. The inheritance is a permanent inheritance, their place in the new heavens and the new earth. That's an expression we're familiar with. The new heavens and the new earth. When you're left an inheritance in this world, what happens? A will is drawn up, isn't it? And possessions and property and finance and whatever is all distributed accordingly. Okay, you know, okay, the content of the inheritance is described and then distributed accordingly. It's all done quite rigorously. Do you notice, though, here, that Peter doesn't say anything at all about the content of the inheritance. It may be described in other parts of the scripture, but Peter does not speak about the content of the inheritance here. He just says it's an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. He doesn't say anything about the content, does he? What's he speaking about? He's speaking about the character. It's indestructible. It's undefiled. It's incorruptible. In our inheritance, there will be no sin, no sorrow, no sadness. Perfect inheritance. And at the center of it all, the Lamb of God, who is all the glory, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's an unfading inheritance. It will not disappear. Peter says towards the end of the letter, he speaks about when the chief shepherd appears, okay, pointing forward as well to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ for his own people. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Okay, that would have been a familiar image as well to people in Peter and Paul's day as well. If you think of athletes as well winning races, what would have happened would have been they would have received not gold and silver and bronze medals, but they would have received crowns or leaves, okay, wreaths put on their head. Not going to last, is it? Not going to last for long, is it? But an unfading crown of glory, be one that lasts, kept, reserved, okay? You book a flight on the plane or you book a train ticket or whatever, you've got to reserve a seat. But if you're not going, you're not going away on holiday this year, you might want to cancel, okay? So you just phone them up or go online and make a cancellation. Our inheritance is kept and there's no cancellation. And there's no extra charges. It's there, it's ready for you to go to. And why is it ready? How can we get there? How do we claim our internal permanent inheritance? It's through Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope, to an inheritance that is imperishable. There's a hope then that leads to inheritance, but it's through Christ. Through Christ. Do you know him? Is he your Savior? Have you got this hope that when you pass from this life, if you were to pass from this life today, you would go to a permanent inheritance? Here we have no continuing city. Make sure that you have got this permanent inheritance in your own life. There's a present hope. There's a permanent inheritance to go to, and through it all, there's also a powerful God. A powerful God. You know, these people would have been asking a lot of questions in those days. They were going through great persecution. They were being ostracized, okay, exiles, strangers, being ignored, being persecuted, being snubbed, enduring different kind of persecution, could have been physical persecution as well. Through it all, they might have been asked, well, what if I can't keep this up? What if I fall? And you might say, well, what if I crack under persecution? What if I fail to persevere? What if I'm unfaithful? What if I backslide? God the Father sent his Son and has caused us to be born again by the Spirit. God takes the initiative. Okay, the believer, though, has a role to play. It's not just a case of, as the expression used to be, let go and let God. It's not that at all. We've got to work. I was reading at the start of the service, the opening verses from 2 Peter, which speaks about adding to your faith. Adding to your faith, virtue and faithfulness and love. We've got a role to play. We've got to add to our faith. And right at the end of that second letter, Peter will say, grow in grace. Grow in grace. And remember, where there's faith, there's life. And where there's true life, there's growth. There's growth. So we have a role to play. We've got to work at it. We've got to live out our Christian life. But there's two sides to the coin. Remember, God is in control and God guards and protects his children. And in verse 5, Peter speaks about Peter says that you're kept, okay, this, about this, he's speaking about the inheritance kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. By God's power, you're being guarded, protected. God protects his children. Our loving Heavenly Father protects his children. Paul says, he that began a good work in you shall continue it to perfection until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you shall continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. God protects his children. He does not leave nor forsake. We read these well-known words, but I'll read them again. They're of great comfort. If God is for us, what shall we say to these? This is Paul from Romans chapter 8. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God guards. What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. God guards and protects his children. And you know something, when Paul was on trial for his life, towards the end of his life, he overcame. How did he overcome? In his own strength. He says to Timothy, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. You ever had that feeling when you're just absolutely hopeless and you're not up to a task? You've just felt the presence of God coming by you and strengthening you for a task, to do something. The psalmist writes as well, Paul knew it. He was actually, if you like, Paul knew this because he was really, at that time, he was on trial for his life. He was passing through the valley of the shadow of death. The end was coming. What does the psalmist say? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He doesn't abandon his people. God is faithful. When we are faithless, when we do crack under pressure, God is faithful. And he comes by and he strengthens and he restores if we'll call to him. God guards and protects. We have a present hope. If you've got that present hope, you can look forward to a permanent inheritance, all because of a powerful God. It is by grace that we are saved. Okay, we were dead in trespasses and sin, as Paul says. In the same chapter, he reminds us that it is by grace we are saved. It is by grace, and we put our trust in Christ alone for salvation. But God keeps us. He guards us. He'll guard us, and he'll keep us, and he'll continue to work in us until that day comes when faith will give way to sight. Now are we the children of God? Says John, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Psalmist says, even though surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God does not abandon his people. He's there, he's strengthening them, he'll be at their side, until one day faith gives way to sight. Until then, okay, John also says, after he says, we shall see him as he is, he says in verse 3, he says, everyone who has this hope purifies himself. So it's a call to us to live a holy life. We have this wonderful hope, this wonderful inheritance, but we've got to labor on. fallen creatures in a fallen world, and we've got to live a holy life. And we can only do that through the grace of God and the Holy Spirit abiding, the Holy Spirit working in us. How can we be filled with the Spirit? By abiding in Christ and by meditating upon His Word, God's Word. I hope you're encouraged as we've looked at the opening verses of 1 Peter. A present faith, a permanent inheritance, a powerful God. All this should help us today, I hope. You ever heard the expression, who can mind the journey when the road leads home? One day, the sufferings will give way to glory, injustices will be put right, wrongs will be put right. God's people are not exempt from suffering, and it will not change up until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think of Job, he suffered more than any of us will do. But who can mind the journey when the road leads home? Going back to Romans 8 again, Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the unsaved, for the ungodly, for those who live without Christ, they'll have their glory now. But at one point when the day comes, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, they may have their glory now, but it will lead to suffering away from God's glory. Paul says to the Thessalonians, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope that will not be the case for anyone in here this morning. Do you have a hope in Christ? Remember, where there's faith, there's a spiritual life. Like branches joined to the vine, there's got to be life flowing from the vine. And there's hope and there's growth. If there's no growth, then perhaps you need to, again, examine your heart. You may have been Christianized and been a regular church attender, but you've never actually come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Examine your heart there. But praise God, if you do have that hope in Christ, trust that's the case for many people. If you have a hope in Christ, rejoice in this assurance. There's a hope now, there's an inheritance that lies ahead, and we need to go on and rest and trust in a powerful and a faithful and an all-powerful and an all-wise and a faithful and a keeping God. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word. Let it speak to our hearts, and may we be encouraged to trust in you and rest in you, an all-powerful and almighty God, to live lives worthy of our calling, Heavenly Father, but to be trusting in you in difficult days that we're living in, and remembering that the journey does lead home to a permanent inheritance. Thank you for the hope that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. And if anyone doesn't have that hope this morning, if anyone's not sure of that there's a right relationship, a right saving, living, growing relationship with you, Lord, we just pray you'd make things clear to them. Speak to hearts, we pray, and bring them into a saving relationship with yourself this morning, we pray. But Lord, help us as we conclude our service, as we worship you, and help us to go from this place strengthened in our faith, we ask it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We will close by singing The Servant King. We'll rise and sing. I do remind you, you're welcome to stay behind for a cup of tea after the service. Just remind you as well of the Bible study booklets that are there at the table. Feel free to take away if you don't have. But let's rise and sing together. From heaven you came, helpless babe. Let's rise and sing The Servant King.
Set our world, your glory.
served but to serve.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.